And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your hostess, Phyllis Pricer, coming to you from the capital city of the nation, Washington, D.C., and you are listening to the Higher Dimensions. And today we have a very lovely guest, a Miss Susan Schumansky. I think you're a doctor of divinity, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. I'm a doctor of divinity, and I've been practicing spiritual disciplines for 40 years.
How absolutely wonderful. And she has written a book called How to Hear the Voice of God. And I read it. It was sent to me. And I have to tell you that I think that this is an absolutely wonderful book. She's also, Dr. Schumansky, I guess, is a respected professional speaker and a New Thought minister. And you've written other works as well, I think, but Divine Revelation, Miracle Prayer, and Exploring Chakras and Auras. And you've worked and studied with the world-famous Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, founder of Transcendental Meditation. And she has had a very wonderful and interested and varied background. And she tells us how we can contact God and how to listen for God speaking to us. Because sometimes we're so busy talking, we forget that part of a conversation with us or anybody else is listening to what the other person has to say. And I think she has given us some absolutely wonderful information on how to do that. Dr. Schumansky, please dive right in.
Well, first of all, it's my pleasure to be here on your show today, and I'm thrilled to be talking about how to hear the voice of God, which is really our own intuition.
Yes.
That is God speaking to us within our own heart. It's
right.
Our own higher self speaking to us, in fact. And I just want everyone to know that anyone can do this. It doesn't require for you to be some great saint or prophet that lived 2,000 years ago in a faraway land.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be Neil Donald Walsh in order to hear the voice of God. That every person is already hearing the voice of God.
Yes.
And the important thing is to just open up and listen and be more aware of the messages you're already getting.
Well, you know, when I was a child, we were told that we had something called our conscience. And it was the still, small voice inside. But we also were told that we had to have a great deal of religious training, et cetera. What I recognize now from that training way back then is that they were telling us to listen to God within only in order to maintain the power of the church and obedience. We were told it was just our conscience and was subject to imperfections, etc. But I think the Catholic Church was on the right path. I think it just veered off somewhere along the road. But
actually, every religion is on the right track. And the original scriptures of all religions come from a basis of profound truth, and that's why so many religious scriptures and so many religions have similarities, because they're based upon the ultimate truth. Truth is truth is truth. So all of these religions have a basis in profound truth.
Uh-huh.
And when we speak of opening to spirit and listening to that still small voice of God within, we're speaking of something that's really very, very familiar to us, something's very intimate to us, and that anyone can tap into.
And I agree with that. What I was fascinated by, and I keep looking for the chapter, I do not like to mark books. To me, all books are sacred, right? And
well,
to me,
I'm glad you have that attitude towards books. That's wonderful.
And to me, to mark a book is to commit sacrilege.
I see. Okay.
So I have a hard time going back trying to find certain passages. You know?
Well, you just remind me what it is, and I'll be happy to help you out there.
It's the one where you give the different ways that God speaks to you, or your conscience or higher self speaks to you.
There are three basic ways in which we hear the message.
Yes.
We get it through either hearing, feeling, or seeing.
Yes.
And that would be clairvoyance, clairaudience, or clairsentience.
Right.
Clairvoyance would be seeing like an inner picture in your inner eye.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, obviously, this is with eyes closed. We're talking about in meditation with eyes closed.
Right.
We're not talking about hallucinating or getting
Or having too much to drink. You got it.
Yeah, or having too much to drink or something like that. And so that would be one way that we would get the message, is by getting an inner vision. And
uh-huh.
the second way is hearing some words. Those would be words that are fed into our minds that we would just hear
mm-hmm.
with our inner ear, just like any other thought that comes into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the third way would be through getting feelings, like gut feelings.
Uh-huh.
So you just feel like you're being led in a certain direction. These are
uh-huh.
the three basic ways that we get messages from that still small voice, although there are other ways. But these are the ways that I cover mostly in my book, How to Hear the Voice of God.
Right. And there was something, and there's another way I can speak to you, too. I was, I suffered three losses today, very quickly, one after the other, and they all had to do with my parents, and it was really odd. I had been talking about some things in the past with a girlfriend of mine who was staying overnight, and then I went in to put away the dishes, and I dropped or knocked over a little glass wine glass that had been my mother's. It's called a Jefferson wine glass. It's like a bowl that you hold in your hand, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that upset me enough. Then when we went outside and we went to go somewhere and the garage door closed, I heard a loud bang. One of the cables that holds the garage door to open it broke after 50-some years. Okay,
mm-hmm.
after 50 years, you're entitled to break. Okay, I gave you that. Okay, I should be so good after 50 years, right? Anyway, and then the third thing, when I came back from the store, I was getting out some salad to send home with my girlfriend, so she said I could have goodies to take home with her, and somehow I knocked over a butter dish that had been a present to my parents on their 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
And my girlfriend said, well, what do you think this is all about? And I opened my mouth and out popped the words, to let go of my past.
Wow.
That just popped out. And just to let go of the past. And I guess that was my higher self telling me, because one had to do only with my mom, one had to do with my dad, and the other had to do with both my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that interesting?
It's very interesting, especially that you would receive those messages this morning. The fact is that
yes.
we are getting these messages, and sometimes they come to us from our environment. And then
mm-hmm.
then when we ask, which is what happened, you asked or your friend asked,
mm-hmm.
then we receive the message. And the key, the absolute key to this entire process is asking. And the entire premise of everything that I teach with
mm-hmm.
reference to listening to the inner voice is one basic thing, and that is ask, and it shall be given
well,
to you.
So I believe that, and I think that part of what I went through today was to help set up the show.
Right. Because when you asked the question, you did
yes.
receive the answer, and it popped out of your mouth. It just came to you.
Yes.
That's the answer to that question.
Right.
So it's really important that we ask, and if you want, I can give you the big secret right now.
Okay.
For your listeners, of how to hear the voice of God.
Absolutely.
So all that you have to do is you just sit down in a chair, you close your eyes, you take a few deep breaths, you get quiet and still and centered and balanced within yourself, and then you simply ask. You ask a question, or you ask for guidance or for inspiration or for healing. You ask. Specific questions are better. The more precise the question, the better.
Uh-huh.
And then you take another big deep breath, and then you do what I call the do nothing program. That means you do nothing, nothing, and less than nothing. And then the still small voice of God will speak to you within your heart to give you the answer to that question.
Uh-huh.
And as I said before, it will come to you either as a vision, as a feeling, or as some words that are fed into your mind.
Right. And that
so the entire key is asking.
Well, I have always felt that that promise in the Bible was meant for all men, and I be women. Now, I don't want to be culturally behind the eight ball, but when I say all men, I mean mankind, and I don't want to have to say that again, because I think it's just flavorful in English to be generic, if that makes sense. I believe in that. Seeking you shall find, ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And my feeling was God, I mean, the Son of God wasn't saying, just you guys that happen to be hanging around the fence post today, but for all ages, because if it weren't true, then it wouldn't be truth, and he wouldn't be handing the true message to all people.
Exactly. And the trouble is that we forget to ask, or we think that we can't ask, or we think that God is too busy for us. And,
yes.
You know, could God possibly ever be too busy for anyone? I mean, the fact is that
yes.
God, if you think that God is too busy for you, then you have a very limited idea of who or what God is, because God is everywhere present.
Mm-hmm.
God is omnipresent, infinite,
mm-hmm.
omnipotent, omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
And how could God possibly get tired or be, you know, be somewhere else and not, can't pay attention to you? I mean, that's a very limited, restrictive, anthropomorphic way of looking at God. God is everywhere present.
Certainly.
God is unlimited, and certainly God has time for you as
mm-hmm.
well as everybody else on this planet.
Well,
so,
yeah.
And you are just as important, you know, God doesn't just pay attention to quote-unquote important people. God pays attention to everyone equally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you are worthy. You deserve to have God speak to you. Everyone does. And
uh-huh.
so, you know, my suggestion is to open to that still small voice within, to listen to it,
uh-huh.
to trust it, to follow it, and to act upon it.
Right. The other thing is act. You know, sometimes we get little nudges, but we also have the right to not respond.
Exactly.
And that's the other thing, that people think they can sit in their chairs, you know, put their little feet up, and then God will do a step and fetch it for them. Sometimes,
exactly.
If you need it, he will. But basically, you have to do a little bit of stirring the pot, as I call it. You know, if you want to cook a soup, you have to stir the pot every once in a while to make sure things don't get stuck to the bottom. And it's the same way. You should plan some kind of activity response, like thinking more actively for it, or, you know, looking up something, or asking people questions about it. If you want your want to receive things, one has to take a wee bit of active part to get it moving, because that's called energy.
Right. I mean, you know, we might get a message, and we might ignore it.
Yeah, exactly.
If we don't ignore it and we actually follow it and act upon it, then we will find that miracles will take place in our lives.
Right.
And
exactly.
Our life will become very meaningful and very purposeful, and will take on new meaning and tenor, and our life will become miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of having the faith and trust in that inner voice and acting upon it enough times that really builds your faith. So that you begin to trust it more and more and more.
Certainly. Well, this is possibly what I'm agreeing to also. And I had also been having a lot of issues. I have a tendency to fall downstairs. Don't ask me why. I have no clue. Maybe it started with I was afraid to move forward. Splat, you know. And but I had fallen down the icy steps in February. I had cleared off
right.
the steps for my dog. And forgot to do it for me.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was concerned about my animals, but not myself. Anyway, I did some damage, and I had been in a lot of back pain since, and I kind of pulled my knee, and you know how you get yourself out of whack. And last week, about 10 days ago, I guess, I was crossing the street. All of a sudden, my left ankle gave out, and I fell forward and flat in the middle of the street. Well, something had told me, number one, to wait until all cars were passed. Because normally, if I see a break, I'll go scuttling across. I listened to my voice. I waited till there were no cars at all. I said, well, I'm not in a hurry. I won't rush. I rationalized it, right? And
mm-hmm.
then when I fell, I was so glad, because then there was nobody to run over me. But when I fell, what happened was I undid the damage that I had done when I fell down the steps. My back
really?
Was thrown back into place. My knee was thrown. Honestly, this is a hell of a way to do a chiropractic adjustment, you know what I mean? A little less drama
right.
the next time, Lord.
Yeah, right.
Do we think we could do this a little less dramatically, okay?
Yeah, I think so.
People were given opportunity to help me, like, you know, run in the street and help pick me up and dust me off. So I
mm-hmm.
afforded other people the opportunity to be a good Samaritan. And
mm-hmm.
and then I was pushing through with it, and I was just saying, you know, I need to have a healthy body. This is not acceptable. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, Saturday I woke up, I was in such pain, but I had promised to do something with some friends, and I went ahead and did it. Loaded myself with medication so I wouldn't feel anything. Today, and that was yesterday, today I got up. Do you know, for the first time in years, I had zero back pain.
Wow. That's good. That's amazing, actually.
Zero. And so when I'm talking to you about this is to let my listeners know and to confirm with you that when you ask, when you respond, when you do, and you use right attitude as well and believe, it does happen. Miracles do happen.
Absolutely. And if you have time, I can give you a little example about
good.
That.
Good, good, good,
good. Okay, so when I wrote my first book, Divine Revelation, I was led by Spirit, and in fact, the book was written by Spirit. The book wrote itself. And then when I wanted to get it published, I asked my higher self, well, how do I get this book published? And
mm-hmm.
so I received a divine revelation.
Divine
revelation, like a voice out of the clouds, not really. What happened was I heard the inner voice, and it said, go to the library and find yourself a literary agent. So that was, you know, my great divine revelation.
Wow.
So I went to the library, right?
Yeah.
And I looked for a literary agent, and the literary agent is the person who sells your manuscript to the publisher.
Oh, really?
So, yes, yes. So I looked for an agent because I was guided to do that, and this one name popped out at me. I just felt like he would be the best agent to represent me, although it did not make a whole lot of sense.
Okay.
Because this agent, his name is Jeff Herman. He agents business books for Wall Street. But I just had this feeling that he's the best agent for me. So I went ahead and sent my proposal to Jeff Herman. But I didn't have quite enough faith to just send it to Jeff Herman. So I sent it to 30 agents.
Ooh.
But amazingly, the very first one to respond was Jeff Herman. He responded within 2 days after receiving my proposal.
Wow.
So I signed the contract with him, and he started to shop my book around to various publishers, but he got some rejections.
Okay.
And then I got a letter in the mail from the Jeff Herman Literary Agency, and it said, we're very sorry, but we've had a staff shortage in our agency, and we can no longer represent you. So I was completely devastated and, you know, wondering, well, why in the world would I be guided to go with this
right.
agent? And then this is happening. So I went into meditation to find out the answer to that question.
Uh-huh.
And I received a very strange message. And
uh-huh.
often we will receive a very strange message from our higher self or from
okay.
God within us. And the message said, no, Jeff Herman is your agent. Don't try to sign with another agent and don't try to sell the book yourself. So I, you know, I'm just crazy enough to follow this guidance because that's what I do. I live on blind faith and inner guidance.
Yeah,
so I went ahead and I sent a letter to Jeff Herman, and it said, my intuition tells me you'd be the best agent to represent me. So I send this letter to the business book agent, right?
Uh-huh.
You can imagine, you know, how that went over. So absolutely nothing happened. And months go by, and I receive nothing. And then finally, I got a letter in the mail from the Jeff Herman Literary Agency, and it said, we're very glad that you have so much faith in us, but we still can't represent you. So I went back into meditation again, and you know what? I got the same message again, a second time. Jeff Herman is still your agent. Don't try to sign with another agent, and don't try to sell the book yourself. So I sent my second letter to Jeff Herman. My intuition still says you'd be the best agent to represent me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that went over like a lead balloon. You know, months go by. Nothing happens, and then all of a sudden I get a phone call out of the blue from Jeff Herman. We're very impressed by your perseverance. We decided to represent you. Come to my office and meet my partner. We're going to handle your book. So I go to the office in downtown Manhattan, and all the business books are stacked on the wall. I'm feeling a little out of place. And this woman walks in, his partner. Well, I immediately had this heartfelt affinity towards this woman.
Uh-huh.
It turns out the woman who is working in the business book agency is a psychic.
And
she got me a psychic reading. And then a few months go by, and I get a call from Jeff Herman that they've sold my book to Simon & Schuster. Well, I nearly went into cardiac arrest when I heard that they had sold the book to Simon & Schuster, because the biggest publisher in the world wants to publish the first-time unknown spiritual author who knows nothing about writing and who is an artist. Well, if you know anything about publishing, you will know that it is a total miracle that Simon & Schuster would publish that book.
Exactly.
And my editor at Simon & Schuster said it's the very best written book she ever edited since she started working for Simon & Schuster.
Wow.
So how did such a miracle happen? It happened by following my inner guidance with complete faith,
right,
with blind faith, and trusting it. And
right,
not faltering, just going with whatever it is that I'm guided to do. And so on a daily basis, I do my best to listen to that inner voice and to follow and trust it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not perfect at it, Phyllis. Trust me, I'm not perfect at it at all.
Well, no one is.
It's challenging to do it, but it is possible to do it.
Yes. And it's called having faith.
Right.
In yourself.
And when you have that faith, yeah.
Yes. And being willing to look foolish sometimes too.
Exactly. That's excellent. That's an excellent point. Being willing to look foolish, because there are always naysayers around.
Oh.
Who will think you're crazy. If you tell them you're following inner guidance or following an inner voice, you know.
They're only too happy to help you get over your madness.
Absolutely. So I am a fool for God.
Yes.
I'm a mad fool for God, crazy fool for God, and I just, you know, just crazy enough to follow and trust that inner voice, and when I do, it works out pretty well, you know, and when I don't, it doesn't work out too well.
Yeah, I've been on that streak also before.
I have many times. As a matter of fact, I can tell you a little story about that one, too, if you want to hear it.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. So, I have lived in a motorhome, a van, or a trailer since 1989. I have no home base. I travel around in my motorhome.
Wow.
Well, I used to have an Airstream travel trailer. That's one of those silver bullet-looking
things.
Yeah,
I remember those very well.
Right. So I had my trailer, I was guided by spirit to park my trailer in an industrial park in New Jersey. A friend of mine owned that park, you know. So that's where I was guided to stay for a while. And then as I was in that industrial park, I got this inner guidance to get a job there as a security guard at that place. And that worked out pretty well for me for a while. I had my little badge, my little cap, my little outfit, and I was a security guard, and I sat at the little gate in the guardhouse, and it worked out really well because I was able to work on my first book and edit it and write it in that guardhouse. I would just bring my computer over and do that. So that went quite well for a while, for about a year actually. And then I received this inner message quite strongly that said, quit the job. You don't need this job anymore.
Okay.
I kept getting this message over and over. And so I called up one of my good friends who's a very metaphysical person, and I said to him, you know, I'm getting this inner guidance, this inner message that says quit the job, but I refuse to quit this job. I'm not going to quit this job because I am living in fear. I'm afraid that if I quit my stupid minimum wage job that I will not be able to support myself and I will starve to death.
Right.
So I, you know, thank you very much, goodbye, is what I said to my friend. So I continued with that job, and I ignored my inner guidance for many, many months. About 6 months went by, and one day I was in the guardhouse, and I still kept getting that message to quit the job, but I just kept ignoring it.
Yeah, you're good at ignoring things, just like everybody else, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm sitting at the guardhouse, and my relief doesn't come. And if you know anything about security, when your relief doesn't come, well, you have to stay there and
wait. Yes, you do. I've been in healthcare staffing. Believe me, I know. You just don't pick up and walk out whenever you feel like it.
Exactly. So I called up the supervisor and told him that my relief wasn't there, and he said, well, you must wait. And so, you know, nothing happened. No relief came. I called back the supervisor. I said, you know, I cannot wait. I have a meditation class to go teach in Manhattan, and I can't wait, I've got to leave. And he said, no, you have to wait. Well, long story short, I abandoned my post and went and taught my class, and no one came to relieve me the entire night. So the next day, I call up the supervisor, and, well, he says, you've been terminated. So immediately, as soon as I got that message and I hung up the phone, it's like all the angels, all the, whatever you want to call it, God within, the angels, the divine beings, they all start having a party. And balloons are going off and, you know, singing, reveling, dancing, confetti. She finally got rid of that stupid job that we've been trying to get her to get rid of all this time. She finally got rid of it. Well, I did not even listen to the celebration. I did not listen to the party. Instead, I called the supervisor back and I begged for my job back. And you know what, Phyllis?
What?
The supervisor gave it back to me, gave me the job back.
Oh, did they hear the bulb? Did they pop all the party balloons in disgust?
Yeah, I think so. So I went back to work. You don't
learn real well, do you, honey?
No, it's like a 2x4 didn't really work on my head. So I went back to work the very next night, and the very next night I was closing the big truck gates. This is the very next night after
right.
I begged for my job back. At the end of the night, and it's, you know, it's rather late. There isn't really anybody around. It's rather an abandoned area at that time. And so I'm closing and blocking the truck gates. And so I went to the back gate, and I started to pull on that gate to close it. And for some reason, it's not closing. It's not, you know, it's not moving.
Right.
And I'm yanking on it and yanking on it. And finally, the gate starts toppling over on top of me. This is an 8-foot-tall wrought iron gate.
Oh, good Lord.
Huge gate. So I'm trying to run away from this gate, and this gate is toppling on top of me, hitting my shoulder, hitting my part of my head, and I'm trying to run away, and basically I got caught under this gate, and my leg is crushed under this gate. Thank goodness someone happened to drive up in his car just at that time. He had left something in the office and he came back to get it. And he told me, don't move. Thank God he told me, don't move.
Right, right.
And he went and called
the emergency,
the paramedics, and they came and in fact, I was screaming bloody murder, actually, and I told him to lift the gate up, and he could only lift it up a couple inches because it was so heavy.
Right.
But
right.
I was able to scoot just a little bit out from under that gate, and then he said, just don't move. And they came, and it turned out my leg had been basically shattered into many pieces, and I nearly had to have my leg amputated. In fact, it was such a serious injury, I had 4 operations. And, let's see, that was in 1994.
Wow.
And I still have not recovered from that injury.
Oh, my dear.
And, so it was pretty serious. So, you know, that's what happened when I didn't listen to
Well, good Lord isn't quite as dramatic. Seems like my butter dish and a little wine glass are not such a bad deal.
Well, those weren't as a result of not listening to your inner voice. Those were, as you said, they were like messages for you.
Yes.
But this was a pretty strong message, too, I would say, actually.
Yes.
But I just didn't listen. I was very stubborn.
Well,
and,
you know, sometimes we bring these experiences because it's to make us listen, to cause us, you know, on some level to say, all right, don't do this the next time around, you know?
Right, right.
And
trust that
lesson,
inner voice, listen to it. Because my higher self, or whatever you want to call it, God within me, tried everything possible to get me to quit that job.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the last minute, even at the 11th hour, I was given the opportunity to quit and to...
Yeah.
And to not, and to prevent that accident, but
right.
No.
Listen, you know, when it comes to stubborn, Capricorns are really good. You know, I've often said, you know, when I've really had a hard knock up the side of my little head, I call it, you know, I said, Lord, you know, did you have to hit me quite so hard? You know, a little tap couldn't have done it already.
Right, well, they tapped a few times, and then, you know, it was the iron gate.
Then they take a golf club and just swing it at you, right?
I don't know, but the thing was, I guess I learned something. Although still, you know, even a couple of weeks ago, I kept getting a message in my ear and I ignored it. And, you know,
about your ear?
I got kind of mad at myself that I didn't listen to it. But
you,
it was
you had an earache and you didn't listen about it?
No, I didn't have an earache. I heard a message. It was just a couple weeks ago. Right now I'm in the process of hiring somebody.
Okay.
And I had an opportunity to hire someone, and she was very well qualified for the job. And my higher self told me during a several days period, kept saying over and over again, if you don't hire her immediately, it's going to be too late.
Exactly.
And I didn't listen.
Right, and it's too late.
So I was too late. By the time I got back to her, you know, I was busy, I was caught up with other things, and then by the time I got back to her, it was too late. She'd already been hired by somebody else.
Ah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes. You know, but the other thing, too, that we can say is that, in my experience, that the more you attune yourself to listening and responding to it, the stronger the voice gets. Or the
oh, it does
sign
get very strong,
it
yes.
increases with like
it
any
does.
Muscle, it increases with usage.
Exactly. It's like if you practice with it on a daily basis, it will get stronger, and you will develop more faith in it, and you will develop more trust in it, and you will listen to it more and more. So, you know, I definitely recommend this as a practice. Take some time every day to ask questions and to receive to receive the messages. Ask, and it is given unto you. So take a few minutes every day to sit down, close your eyes, take some deep breaths, get quiet, get still, get centered, and then ask some questions. Ask questions that are important to you, important to your life. Ask for guidance. Maybe you have a problem at home. Maybe you have a problem at work. If you ask for advice about that problem, you will receive the answers, and you'll receive really amazing and miraculous answers if you just ask.
Yes, I have to agree with that. And sometimes the answers always aren't what you want them to be, but have a tendency to work out to the best.
Exactly. They will have a healing effect on you, even if it's not what you want to hear. But, you know, because the inner teachers are very loving, but also very truthful, and they will tell you the answer. So if you don't want to hear the answer, it's a good idea. Then it's not a good idea to ask the question, because you will get the answer.
And some people keep asking, even though they get an answer, they keep asking, hoping it'd be a different answer.
Exactly.
Like if I nag Dom and Dad long enough, they'll finally give in and give me what I want, right?
Yeah, that's very true, you know. That is really, really true. Yeah.
I go with the yes but thing, you know. And when I'm talking to somebody and I said, if you yes but me, what you're saying is, yes, I understand and I agree with you, but I don't want to have the answer you're giving me. I call the yes but conversation, you know. And I said, and I finally say, but me no buts with one or two T's. I don't care. It just isn't going to work that way. You know, you've got, sometimes the answer is no for what you want. And it's in your best interest, even though you would like it to be something else. And I think part of it is that when people don't get the answer they think they want, then they turn off the listening in the hopes that, you know, just like we did with, at least I did once in a great blue moon when I could get away with it with my parents, you know, if I ask later, or if I ask Dad or Mom separately, maybe I could get a crack in the whole block there and wedge my way in to get what I want, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that, because it's very true. It really is very true.
And as I said, sometimes we get the answer, but it's not what we want. And the thing is, and if you don't accept it, then what you're saying, in essence, is that you you just have to put up with the consequences or the results of not accepting the answer you were given.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't like that. See? A lot of people don't like that. But I don't know. I also think God has a heck of a sense of humor. I mean, just look at who he created, right?
Right. God does have a great sense of humor. And in fact, When I ask questions of my higher self, I get some very hilarious answers that are really, really very touching and also very hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And to open up that dialogue with that still small voice of God within is a very enriching experience. And if you really trust that guidance and you begin to follow it, your life will become very adventurous. You never know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
But it is really very exciting. It is really very thrilling because the assignments that God gives us, the little things that we're told to do, and these are usually just little baby steps, but in any case, they will guide us and lead us to our highest good.
Uh-huh.
But these little steps will always be somewhat challenging. Because God wants us to grow and expand and to be all that we can be and to stretch the edge of our envelope.
Exactly.
And that is something that is very powerful for us that will really help us to grow and to become all that we can be, to express who we really are, to express our true nature, to realize our true nature and express our true nature. So,
yes, and I'm completely in agreement with it, but still sometimes we kind of want to kick at the traces, and we don't really want to do this, you know. And then there's the negotiators. But what if? Okay, if you do this, like you could actually get into negotiations with God, like it's a business proposition, right? I like that one. You know, I'll do this, God, if you do this. You know.
Oh yeah, the bargaining. Yeah, yes. The bargaining with God.
What I call the negotiation.
A lot of people do that in their prayers. A lot of people try to bargain with God when they do their prayers.
Yeah.
But they don't. That's really a very ignorant way of looking at God, because God is unconditional. So what you're doing is you're placing conditions on God. You're pretending that God is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
If you are a good girl or boy.
That's what I call the negotiator, like you did with mom and dad when you're bargaining. Well, mom, you have to clean your room. Well, mom, if I do this, it didn't work with my parents, and it doesn't really work with God either. I learned real early.
Well,
my parents
really
were pretty much impervious to negotiations.
Right. Because God is unconditional.
Right.
And if you think that God is conditional, if you think that you are making a bargain with God, then you are assuming, you're making the presumption that God can be bribed.
Yes.
You know? And the fact is that God is not bribable, that God is unbribable, and that God will not succumb to your
blandishment,
your will, and your negotiations. So it's really better to not try that, because God is going to love you anyway, no matter what you do. It really,
that's true.
God is unconditional, so you don't need to resort to these tactics.
Well, that's because I think people don't really understand the nature of God. You know, they can play with that. I want you to give the information where you can be reached, Susan. Okay, we're a little more than halfway into our program, and I think it would be great for you to provide some contact information.
Well, my latest book is called How to Hear the Voice of God. My name is Susan Shumsky, and my website is drsusan.org.
Uh-huh.
So you can go to my website, drsusan.org. You can purchase my book, How to Hear the Voice of God, in any bookstore or online on any, you know, Amazon or any of those online places where you buy books, BarnesandNoble.com or wherever. And you can also go to my website and purchase the book.
Good.
And I have 5 other books in print as well.
Go ahead.
And my website is drsusan.org.
Okay. That's wonderful. And I apologize for saying Shumansky instead of Shumsky. I apologize. I'm a little bit dyslexic, and I can see things incorrectly, so I do apologize.
No problem. A lot of people have a trouble pronouncing my name, so that's not unusual. It's a difficult name to pronounce.
Well, Chomsky is pretty easy, I'm thinking. It's just that I can't see it.
Sometimes it's hard for people to see that,
But at any rate, so thank you for your courtesy and not correcting me, but feel free to, because I'm fairly open about things like that. At any rate, I am so delighted to have you on. Now, one of the things I want to discuss was, what is it about us humans, and I have to count myself among them, who find it difficult to be able to trust God, to be able to trust that when we ask and receive, that you, that God will indeed do this? Is it the preconditioning we've had for so long that we are unworthy and not deserving, or that we have to run around crawling on hands and knees, that God is a vengeful God, or what I call arbitrary and capricious, and that, you know, some people he says yay and other people he says nay to? What is it about us that we cannot feel that loving trust that we should for our Creator?
Well, first of all, I have compassion for people who don't believe in God, who are atheists or proclaim to be atheists, simply because how can you believe in something that you've never experienced?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's very difficult for a person to have faith or trust in something
mm-hmm.
that they can't see, hear, or feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and there's a lot of spiritual teachers out there who will talk about these experiences of spirituality, or these experiences of higher consciousness, or the experiences of God realization, and so forth and so on. Especially
mm-hmm.
the gurus of the East will talk about that sort of thing. They'll talk about it, but if they don't give you a way to actually experience it directly,
mm-hmm.
then you
mm-hmm.
can't really know it or experience it, and therefore, how could you possibly believe in it? How can you have faith in something that you don't experience?
That's my guru, call it faith, isn't it?
Yeah. And
okay,
my guru
ahead.
Used to use an analogy for that. He would say that it's like if I showed you a strawberry and told you all about a strawberry and told you about all of its attributes and showed it to you even, and you saw the beautiful red strawberry
mm-hmm.
with the beautiful
mm-hmm.
yellow spots and the beautiful green leaves coming
mm-hmm.
off of it and everything. And you could talk about a strawberry. In fact, I could give you a whole PowerPoint presentations about strawberries and
right.
and all the attributes of it and their whole history and where they're grown and everything about them. But until I actually handed you a strawberry and you took it in your hand and you
uh-huh.
bit into it and you ate the strawberry, you would never really know what a strawberry is.
Uh-huh.
Similarly, when a person speaks about God, talks about the glory of God, talks about the grace of God, the light of God, the love of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the strength of God, all the attributes of God, when you talk about that and you don't give the person the direct experience of that,
right.
then how can a person believe in that? How can a person have faith and trust in that? Or how can a person even know that God exists?
Uh-huh.
So what I do is I actually help people to have the direct experience. And in my book, How to Hear the Voice of God, I have bound into that book a CD.
Yes.
And a person sits down in a chair, pops that CD into their player, listens to that, and follows the instructions, which is a guided meditation.
Uh-huh.
And when you follow those instructions, you actually have the direct experience of that divine presence. And you have the direct experience of hearing the inner voice and getting what I call the inner signal
uh-huh.
and getting what I call the inner message from God.
Uh-huh.
And until you've had that experience, you can't really, you know or trust God. But that's why I advocate direct experience and not just intellectual understanding. You need both. You need to understand about the experience, and then you also need to have the direct experience itself.
Yeah, I can understand that, but still, what I'm saying is there are people that won't even go that so far to do that because, is it because of a basic fear, basic feeling unworthiness? What is it that there is a strong disposition to want to avoid that experience at times?
Well, first of all, our society does not believe that we can experience God, number one.
Yeah, and that's
the fallacy. You know, we've been brainwashed since birth to believe that only great saints, sages, prophets, holy men,
mm-hmm.
and I emphasize the word men, and other
yes.
great and holy beings who lived at least 2,000 years ago in some faraway land, those
mm-hmm.
are the only people that are allowed to have the experience of God, and they
mm-hmm.
wrote that one book, and then since then, apparently, God
yeah.
has gone mute and hasn't spoken to anyone since.
Yeah,
but in fact, I don't believe that that's true. I believe that God is present, imminent,
yes.
Right here, right now, and that anyone and everyone can tap into that and listen to the still, small voice of God within.
Yeah.
So, but few people believe that. And one reason why they don't believe that is because we are told and we are brainwashed that people who claim that they are hearing the voice of God that these people definitely mentally ill.
Yeah, and I like reason, that one.
Yeah, the reason that we believe that is because all of our society tells us that, number one. And number two, we hear of people who claim that God told them to do heinous crimes, such as mothers killing their own babies, or perhaps, you know, someone like Marshall Applewhite telling all of his cult followers to commit suicide. You know, we hear of these people who are definitely whacked out.
What we call
definitely
in need of serious medical care, yes.
Yes, that those are the people who are hearing the voice of God, quote unquote, hearing the voice of God. So because of that, you know, certainly we don't want to be insane, or certainly we don't want to be named as being insane. So that would be one factor. And another factor is the fear, and also the fear of being wrong or getting it wrong or making a mistake. All of these things factor into it. But basically, the most important reason is because our society doesn't condone it or doesn't believe in it in general.
Yeah. And yet, look how many there are who said Christ will come, but you have to die first before he comes. That you have to be dead and moldering in the grave before you can experience God.
Well, there are many people of all religions who believe that the only time they're going to experience God or to see God directly, hear God directly, feel God directly, is after they're dead. That's the other little challenge, is that in our society, most people actually believe that way. I'd say the vast majority of people believe that. They look forward to death when they will be able to have that experience of God. And until then, you know, they don't believe it.
Well, and if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen, by the way. I once had a, I was, this poor priest was trapped beside me for a long haul trip heading out to the West Coast, poor darling. And we started having conversation, and I talked to him about having experienced God and seeing him. And he, you know, had gotten some, and he found out I was divorced, you know, not once but twice and so forth. And he looked absolutely appalled, and he said, "Why would God visit you? You, after all, you're a sinner, basically." Try not to be rude, but basically that's what he said. You know, you sinned. I've been pure, undefiled. I've dedicated my life to God. And, you know, I preach and I pray and baptize. Why haven't I experienced this? Why hasn't he come to me? And so I said, well, I looked at him and suddenly I said, "And do you expect God to come and see you before you die?" He said, "No." And I said, "Well, then your expectations have been met. Why are you upset?"
That's exactly what you asked for, so don't complain about it.
And his jaw just dropped.
No. Right.
I couldn't help it. I mean, it was so self-evident. And I said, if you expect God, Christ, to come to you, he will. I mean, that was the promise.
Exactly.
Either he's a liar or he's not. You know, you got to make the choice. If you think he was, and you've been putting most of your life towards this, you're going to have to believe that he can do whatever he jolly well pleases. But if you want him to, why would he? I mean, you know, if he showed up, what do you do? What would you do? Have a heart attack? you gotta beware what you ask for too. That's the other thing. You want to be careful about what you ask for, because the good Lord may be home that day and answer it and say, "Sure, you got it."
Exactly.
And also, a matter of faith is you have to believe it too. You can't keep saying, "Oh, this must be a mistake. This can't be the answer."
Right, second guessing yourself.
Yes.
It's really important to trust what it is you're getting.
Yes.
And to tell the difference between the true voice of spirit and other voices in your mind. Because
the question is
this wishful thinking? Is this my ego? Is this my mind? Is
and
this some other being talking to me? Or is this really God speaking to me? So in my book, How to Hear the Voice of God, I've got an entire 10-test system to help people to discern, to tell the difference between the true voice of spirit and other voices in your mind, to tell whether the message you're getting is the real thing.
Right. And I think that's very, very important. I've had some interesting dreams in my past. I'm not going to go into them here, but I've had some interesting concepts. And they're very, very interesting. And there are some things when I got up and it sounded like a good thing and I felt it, I listened to it inside and it didn't feel good.
Right.
Even though it came into my mind to do something, I can't even remember it for an instance what it is. But when I looked over in the cold, hard light of day, it didn't feel right, and therefore I dismissed it because it didn't feel right. One of the things I think that you mentioned so clearly is it has to pass the feeling test as well.
Yeah, the feeling test is actually test number one.
Yes.
The feeling or experience test is test number one, and the reason it's test number one is it's the most important test, and that is that feeling of being in contact with the presence of God, which is
mm-hmm.
a feeling of divine love, a feeling of inner peace, a feeling
mm-hmm.
of wholeness and oneness, a feeling of being at home, a feeling of being safe and secure and loved and
mm-hmm.
cherished. And that feeling of being in contact with the divine presence, the feeling, most importantly, the feeling of wholeness and oneness.
Yes.
That's the feeling to look for. And it's not a good idea to even ask the question of God or to try to have a conversation with God until you are in that state,
right.
in that restful or peaceful state of wholeness and oneness, inner peace and harmony. If you're not in that state, then you may not get, you know, a clear message. And what you are describing sounds like another one of my tests, which is the inner knowingness.
Mm-hmm.
The inner knowingness is that you know that you know that you know that you know without knowing how you know it. You just
right.
know it, and you know it beyond a shadow of doubt.
Right.
If there is any shadow of doubt, then it's not the true message of God. If there is a shadow of doubt, then there's something. There may be something amiss. Well, there's definitely something amiss if there's a shadow of doubt. And
mm-hmm.
also, it's not wishful thinking. There's a difference between wishful thinking
mm-hmm.
and that true voice of spirit.
And how do you distinguish between wishful thinking? As I said, some people would try to negotiate with God, and please, well, I don't like the answer I'm getting, so
exactly.
like a kid, keep whining until you get what you want, or you get it to sound, be along the lines of what you think you want.
Exactly. That is the wishful thinking syndrome, is when you're trying to negotiate and trying to second guess and trying to trying to convince God that it must be another answer.
Uh-huh.
One example would be, for example, somebody who thinks, this is the right man for me. Let's say you meet some man.
That's
you
what
have
I have sometimes. I have a difficulty with people and when I counsel them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
That is true. That you may be dating someone and you think, oh, this is the right man for me, and you're all starry-eyed. And it's your wishful thinking. But in fact, if you really examine closely,
uh-huh.
that still small voice in the back of your mind is saying, run the other way as fast as possible. I mean, that inner voice may be telling you that this is totally Mr. Wrong, when
uh-huh.
in fact your wishful thinking is saying this is Mr. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I think that this is such a common experience for a lot of women.
Yes.
They think with their intellect or
yes.
with their wishful thinking that this is the right relationship, but if they would listen a little more closely to that still small voice in the back of their mind that's telling them to run away and
uh-huh.
run away quickly and find
yes.
some, you know, that they wouldn't have the trouble that they got into with that particular
relationship. Yeah, this is what I call the yes but.
But
I feel
yes,
so
but.
Happy with him. But we're together. But when we're together, there's nobody else. And I said, yeah, and every time you say yes, but, you know, you're telling me that it's not really, well, how will I know if it's true? I said, you know. How do you know? I just tell you, you know. There are no questions.
Right.
When you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And yet they proceed to plow ahead because it's not the answer they want.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I have that syndrome, too. I argue with God. I continue to argue with God, and I've been doing this a very long time. I started, I started meditation 40 years ago. I started listening to the divine voice.
Yes.
It's been about 20 odd years ago that I started listening to that divine voice. So you know, I've been doing it for a while, and I still argue with God, and I still try to second guess, and so forth and so on.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it takes, you know, if you feel that you're in this position, if any of your listeners feel
yes.
that you're in this position where you just find it hard to trust or that you don't agree with the answer and so forth, you know, don't be discouraged, because somebody like me who's been doing it a really long time, somebody like Phyllis, like you, who's
yes.
been doing it a while, a long time, that we still get these problems. So,
certainly.
You know, it takes patience. It takes patience, and you really have to just be patient with yourself and not judge yourself so harshly for making mistakes.
Yeah, I sometimes to relieve the monotony, hello, I have a sense of humor that I sometimes envision God saying, "Oh Lord, Phyllis is here again. Hey Gabriel, come over here. Let's see what she wants now. You're going to get a good chuckle out of this one."
Right, exactly.
and you know, as I said, I think God has a great sense of humor. After all, he created the human race, and if we aren't laughable, I don't know what is.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, my aunt was at 99. She was the last of her family to go, and she was worried about dying because she was afraid God wasn't going to accept her. So I went through some of the things I knew that she did for her neighbors when she was able to, right? And I told her what a wonderful person she was. Yes, well, I haven't done anything lately, and it just reminded me of that old joke, you know, that old cartoon you saw with a big executive saying, listening on the phone, "Yes, Mom, I know, but what have you done for me lately?" And I finally said, and she said, "Well, I haven't done much of this and that." And I said, "You know," and she said she's been complaining to God because he hasn't taken her. And she's going on in this vein, and I finally said, "Aunt Ida, if you were God, and he had, and you had a choice of letting in a woman who was grateful for everything she got and was happy to chat with him no matter what, would you want a cantankerous old fart like you who complained about not being taken, or the lady who said, 'Thank you, Lord, for letting me live every single day'?" And it was a dead silence.
So what'd she say?
She broke up laughing.
Right.
Which is what I wanted her to do, you know. She was complaining that God wasn't taking her, and I said, "Aunt Ida, be grateful for the time you have. He's just giving you that much more time to have fun on earth." And she just rolled her eyeballs at me, you know. My aunt was a very strange woman. She was single all her life. What can I tell you? She complained that a man should wear the pants of the family, and she was too controlling, and a woman should give up gracefully her place, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just shaking my head and saying, "Lord, you know, when you get to heaven, would you straighten her out for me, please? Because I'm not going to try here." But,
yeah, she lived a long life.
Uh-huh?
She lived a long life.
Oh, she did. And she did a lot of things that, you know, most women haven't done, at her age hadn't done, but she was a pistol. She was so funny, and she never thought she was worthy, and that's why she was afraid, because she wasn't worthy, and she didn't ask much of God except to take her, and she was mad at him because he didn't take her when she told him to, and so she got just mad at God. You know, if you want to be a guest in heaven, I wouldn't get the host angry. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, God, would you? There is, by the way, that's a really important point for everybody to know, and that is that everyone does have the opportunity to go into that divine light after death.
Absolutely.
Everyone has the opportunity to go to what we might call heaven after death.
Right.
There is no one who is unworthy. There is no one who is a sinner. There is no one who is not,
worthy and
worthy.
Yeah,
are deserving to go into the divine light after death. So I just want all your listeners to know, to realize that the gates of heaven are not going to be closed off to you.
No.
Ever.
No.
And that you
never.
Can always choose to go into that divine light, no matter what you've done, no matter how horrible you think you are, or what terrible things you think you've done in your life. God is all forgiving, all loving,
yes.
and all merciful, and
yes.
you will be granted that opportunity to go into the light, and I do suggest that you take that opportunity because it is your choice.
Uh-huh.
And I really recommend that you do take that opportunity after death to go into that light and to move on into your, you know,
yes.
spiritual evolution.
Well, you can have heaven here on earth if you choose it, or not.
Exactly.
Again,
you can live in heaven or hell right here.
Exactly. And it is of what we created, of our thoughts, I believe, also. And
the reality is
we got to go now. Thank you all so very much. Dr. Shumsky, got it right, I hope.
Fine.
Thank you so much. You have been a delightful guest. I've had so much
fun.
I hope perhaps you'll be able to come back another time. And
absolutely.
I would love to have you come back and share again. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to The Higher Dimensions. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.